Have you ever gone to watch? Of course you've done this. When you go to watch a performance and your kid is on the stage or your friend is on the stage, after the show, your performing friend, your performing child, the first question they will ask you is? Yeah, things like that. How'd it go? Did you like it? Did you like it? That's the first question. One of the first questions they're going to ask you is, did you like it? I got a dirty little secret. After every sermon, first question I ask my wife when we sit in the car all by ourselves is, so how did it go? That's the first question I ask. Every week, I need to hear from her. I do care about you guys. But she's the one I can trust to be the most honest with me. You'll all shake my hand and say, thank you, that was great. Or, that was interesting. Actually, I would take that sometimes. Okay. After a big project at work, and it's all done, and your boss says nothing, how would you feel? What did I do wrong? You'd wonder, what did I do that for? Why did I invest all that time into that? We look for the feedback. We want to know that people enjoyed it or that it made a difference. Not because we're attention hogs. Not because we have big egos. I don't think that's why we look for this feedback. I think we look for the feedback because we want to know that what we did was important. What we invested our time, so much of our time in ourselves, was worth it. That's what we're looking for, is to that affirmation that what we did was not in vain. Tell me it was worthwhile. Tell me that I'm not wasting my time. Tell me that this made a difference. That's what we're looking for. Today we have acknowledged in this service so many people in this church. And I want to encourage you right now with these words, it was worth it. What you did in the name of Jesus this year, in this church and in your homes and in your workplaces, was worth it. It was significant and it makes an eternal impact. You made a difference. I'm going to show you that from Scripture today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, I'm reading only the one verse. He says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. And read that again. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. He begins by addressing the church there in Corinthians as beloved brothers, and the word there can also mean brothers and sisters together. And he calls them beloved because they're dear to him, and he wants to encourage them. They're dear to him because they work with him. They're his co-workers. They're the ones that make him happy when they're serving alongside of him. If you're looking for a good bonding experience, oftentimes people will tell you to join a team. Go play floor hockey, play soccer. And when you get out there and you play with a team, you build a camaraderie that you can't have otherwise. People who are on the same team, no matter what their backgrounds are, all of a sudden have something in common, and they enjoy being together because they're a team. Well, we become beloved to each other. We become necessary to each other. We become dear to each other. We become besties because we need each other. We're on the same team, and we're striving together towards the same goal. So that's how he begins it here, reminding them that we're on the same team, striving towards the same goal. And then he tells them to do two things. He says first, and the first two words are actually go together. He says to be steadfast and immovable, unmoved. He's saying that they have to stand strong and be unmovable, immovable. we sing a song here, I will not be shaken. And when we do it, we have to do a jump, right? Because we want to stand firm in our faith. This week, I was meeting with a brother and a sister from Kitkatla. I don't see them here this morning, but we'll be seeing lots of them in a little while. Rocky and Joyce. Rocky and Joyce, every week, when they're in Kitkatla, they go to the church army and they open it up and they turn on the lights and they bow in prayer at the altar of the church. And they wait. They have a message prepared to sing, or a message prepared to share. They have songs ready to sing. And every week, they gather there at the church, Rocky and Joyce. And most weeks, they meet there alone. But people in Kitkatla see the light on, and they're reminded of the call. The light in the auditorium becomes a call to the community to remember Jesus, to remember the three-in-one God that they acknowledge on their crest of their village. And they were called by some in the village the light. And as I heard this story, I said to Rocky and Joyce, you too, I want you to hear this. I'm going to affirm you as the faithful in Kitkatla. You are the faithful in Kitkatla. Because of their faithfulness in Kitkatla, we as a church can go there. Because of their faithfulness, we can come and make friends in Kitkatla, and we can share Jesus with the next generation. Even when they stand alone, because they stand, new things can happen. Because they show up, new things can happen. They're heroic in their stand. Do you agree with me? Is it important to have a church there? It is. Without the preaching of the word, there's no hearing of the word. Without hearing the word, there's no faith in the word. No one can believe in the word. And if they can't believe in the word that they have heard, then they will be lost. They are heroic. And we, brothers and sisters, are called to be the faithful in Prince Rupert. Part of our call is to stand our ground and to give up nothing. And you stand your ground how? Part of your stand is showing up on Sundays and praising God together with us. That's part of your stand. Part of your stand is your devotions, it's your prayer times that you have every morning, or most mornings, or some mornings. When you come to the Lord, you are taking a stand and you are unmovable, steadfast. You are taking that stand when you pray at your dinner table. You're taking that stand when you are living as a Christian in your workplace. You are taking that stand. Part of the call of being a Christian as we labor in the kingdom is to just stand and to not retreat. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But the second part of life in the kingdom, working in the kingdom, isn't just standing our ground, it's to also overflow or to abound. It's to move forward. That we are called also to be abounding or to be overflowing in the work of the Lord as we carry it out. Now this word overflow, you hear me talk about it a lot. The Greek word is parousuo. It shows up a fair bit in Paul's letters. It shows up in the gospel of Jesus. When Jesus had all the crowds come to him, and they're following him for a long time, and then they were getting hungry, and he says to his disciples, you give them something to eat. And the disciples panicked and said, this is going to take like 3 months' wages to feed all these people, because there's thousands of people there. And Jesus says, well, what do you have? Well, we have 5 little loaves of bread, about the size of a bun, and 2 fish. And Jesus had them all sit in groups, and he broke the fish up into bits, and they kept becoming more and more fish, and they filled basket after basket, and bread was put into the baskets as well. And as it was served, it never ran out. In fact, when everyone had eaten, it says that they had gathered up. How much? 12 baskets, and the word there is parasuo, of overflow. 12 baskets of overflow. And this is how we are called as a church to work in the Lord. I know we get tired, but this verse is saying when we serve in the Lord, it shouldn't be a tiresome thing. It should be a ministry that we are actually receiving even as we spend. Freely you have received, freely give. That's how Jesus in Matthew chapter 10, we talked about that today, Matthew chapter 10, that's what he told his disciples they were to expect. To go into ministry, even if you have nothing. In fact, bring nothing extra with you so that you can see the Lord provide for you. Freely you've received, freely give. So part of the commandment here, to be people who are abounding, means to be people who are seeking the Lord and receiving from him even as we serve, so that we can serve in joy. And if we serve in joy, and if we are standing steadfast, we will also see the work of the church itself abounding and overflowing, so that people even with that are not within our walls, that are not within our congregation, are blessed. And the grace of God will leak out from amongst us into our community and bless them, that we as a church would overflow. And then he says, and he puts a big because on this, because you know that in the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. What you're doing, this work you've committed to, is not in vain. What's our assurance in that? It's actually in the word therefore. And I didn't tell you what went before this passage. Whenever you read a verse and it begins with therefore, you always have to look to see what it's there for. Why is the word therefore there? What's it there for? If you look into the context, Paul is explaining this amazing mystery, this amazing promise that we have. And the promise that we have is that we will rise from the dead one day and we will live forever with Christ in the new heavens and new earth. That's the promise we have. And the assurance of that promise is that Jesus himself rose from the dead. If Jesus didn't rise, no one will rise. But because Jesus rose from the dead, we too will rise. And because we will rise, he says, what does he say? He says that we will inherit the kingdom of God. We will receive new bodies. And death itself will be swallowed up in victory. So he finishes the verse just before. He says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the assurance that we have that everything we do in the Lord is meaningful. This is the assurance that you have that everything you do in the Lord has eternal significance. And outcomes don't even matter. If you're doing it in the Lord, for the Lord, what you're doing has an impact in eternity. And the Lord God himself will never forget it. What you're doing cannot be in vain because Jesus has already won. And whatever we do in word or in deed in the name of Jesus will be used by him and remembered by him and will accomplish what he wants it to accomplish. Your faithfulness today will accomplish what the Lord wants it to accomplish. That's the assurance you've got. It doesn't matter what came of it. You can know that when you obey the Lord Jesus, he will make sure that your obedience does what he wants it to do. It was not in vain. It was not in vain that you didn't bend your ethics at work. Even if you didn't get that promotion, it was not in vain. The Lord God saw it and he used your obedience for his purposes. It was not in vain that you taught a Sunday school class of 5 kids, because your obedience and service was used by the Lord to accomplish his purposes. It was not in vain. It was not in vain that you prayed at your dinner table. Even if your kids wandered from the faith, it was not in vain, because the Lord God will use those prayers, and that testimony that you had before the Lord will live on in the hearts of your kids, and he will use it how he will use it. You can trust him with that. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. The Lord Jesus will bring about what he intends to bring about through your obedience. So don't give up heart. Don't lose heart. I guess going through graduation as well, this rings true for us in a new way for Julie and I. With Caleb graduating, we're done. Yeah, you think so? Yeah, I know you all think they're going to be like, no, it's not going to be like that. Because we turned their rooms into guest rooms within a week of them leaving, so that when they come back, we say, you're always welcome back in the guest room. Get it? It's a metaphor. Because we love them. It's actually, you know, it's because we love them. And so here now we're closing a chapter on one form of parenting. The major form of parenting comes to a close for Julie and I. And I was been doing a lot of reflecting on this as a parent over the last while, and some of the reading I've been doing has built into this as well. And I will never pretend to have been a perfect parent. I will not. I will not pretend that for a second. I think we were good parents, and we could have been better parents, to be sure. But I'm just praising God for how he used our obedience, even though we had our disobedience inside of our family story as well. He used our obedience within the lives of both of our sons so that to this day they both call on the name of Jesus, are baptized, and are committed to following him for a lifetime. That I'm just praising God for right now. I want to encourage you in your homes as well to do the same. And I know the stories of many of you here, that not all of our children are following the Lord, but do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. Continue to pray for them, because that is not in vain. Continue to share the love of God with them, because that is not in vain. Continue to serve wisely as a parent in the changing capacities that we have as our kids leave home, because it's not in vain. One other thing I would tell you as a parent, I know I'm changing topics here a little bit, but I was just reading that one of the main reasons that faith doesn't transfer from one generation to another is because we view it as if faith is useful and functional. Like, we look at faith's benefits and we say, well, believing in God is good for you, and going to church is good for you, and Jesus gives us a good way to live. And that is an easy faith to walk away from, because there are a lot of good things. Right? And as soon as you send your kids off into a world of all these options, they're going to find other things that seem good and other things that can give them, you know, guidance in life. That's not why we follow Jesus. He is the best way. He is the best example. He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. That's true, but that's not why we follow him. We follow him because all other paths lead to destruction. We follow him because he's the only one who has blazed for us a path into life. We follow him because he's the Savior, and he proved it by rising from the dead. And that's why I serve the Lord. No matter what it looks like, or what kind of outcomes come from it, or what kind of burdens that may include, or whatever, it doesn't matter, because in the end, Jesus rose from the dead, and I'm going to follow him because he's the only Savior. And that's all I've got. That's all I've got. And so I will put whatever labor I have into following him. And whatever I have to say is going to be about him. Whatever I dedicate my life to will be in service to him, because that's all I've got. And if I spend my life and my words and my energy and all of my love on that, it won't be in vain. Amen? That's the truth. And I want to encourage you with that. Whatever you have invested in Christ and in his church and in his word in this community, it has not been in vain. I want to praise God for that, because Jesus won. Everything you've done will bear fruit the way that the Lord intended it. We can praise God for that. Let's go to God in prayer. Jesus, thank you so much for winning the victory. And we know that in the darkest moment, there was nothing but bleak, but you saw the joy set before you. And so you were able to endure the cross, scorn its shame, press on in obedience to your Father, knowing that your obedience would bear fruit, so that today, Lord, hard to understand, but 2 billion people have called on you and have been saved because of your obedience. Lord, I submit myself to you in all that I have done this year. Lord, we submit ourselves to you in all the service that we have rendered to you and to your church. And Lord, we humbly lay it at your feet and ask that you, the Lord, would use it to accomplish your purposes. As we surrender these things, Lord, to you, we know that our labor, we are confident that our labor was not in vain. Amen. Invite the worship.